So if you looked at the bulletin, you notice the Reverend Blair Pogue is supposed to be preaching. I'm not the Reverend Blair Pogue. She's homesick, unfortunately. Lots of stuff going around. So you get me instead. In 2009, a young man named Daryl Watson sent an email to everyone he knew. He explained that he was leaving his job, leaving his apartment, selling all of his possessions, and taking a new name, Peace Pilgrim, and that he would be beginning a walk across the U.S., starting in Delaware, going to San Francisco. He would be relying upon the hospitality of the world, of the neighbors that he found along the way. Now, Daryl was in his mid-20s. He had had some success as working on a TV show in New York City. He had been a playwright. He'd written a number of plays. But inside, he was haunted by a search for meaning. He kept having these recurring dreams in which people were asking him who he was and what his purpose was and what the meaning of life was. And he would awake, exhausted, and like he had been wrestling. He had tried all sorts of ways to connect with God over the years. He had gone on 40-day silent retreats. He had been to Peru to spend time with a shaman. He'd been through some churches along the way. And then he came across the story of the original Peace Pilgrim, a woman named Mildred Norman, who had spent 28 years, starting in the 1950s, walking all across North America, owning nothing, and simply relying upon the hospitality and generosity of the people that she met. So he decided he would try it himself. So left his job, left his apartment, gave away or sold everything he owned, and went to a hotel in Delaware. And before he left, he wiped his computer clean after he sent that email, left it for the cleaning staff at the hotel with a little note, and one morning set out walking. All he had with him was a compass, a map, a toothbrush, a bottle of Purell, and a t-shirt. Purell comes in handy these days, right? A t-shirt that said Peace Pilgrim on the front and Walking for Peace on the back. Now, he had emptied out his bank account. He had about $2,000. He had that in cash in an envelope. And so one of the first things he wanted to do was to give that away. And so he started walking along, and there was a church. So he figured, great, I'll give it to this church. So he went in and met the pastor. The pastor was there, and he said, walked in and said, you know, I'd like to give you this $2,000 for the church to use in its ministry. And the pastor was a little skeptical. Now, one of the things you have to know about the different experiences of Mildred Norman, Mildred Norman's a sweet old white lady. Daryl Watson's a young black man. And sadly, that impacts in today's America how people are received. And so walking in with this $2,000 in cash in an envelope, the pastor was suspicious where it came from, right? Was this stolen? Was this money from some drug deal or something? And did not receive it, and sent Daryl away, actually. So he wrote on the envelope, give to charity, and then just dropped that $2,000 in the nearest mailbox that he found, and kept walking. So along the way, he met a number of people. Someone gave him a sweatshirt, someone gave him a backpack. He got some cups of water, a little bit of food. But after a couple days, he was getting increasingly hungry and tired and cold. He had not been welcomed in as he had imagined. And so he's walking along a highway. He made it into Maryland. Delaware is a pretty short state to get through, right? So he made it into Maryland, and he saw a billboard. And the billboard said, it's okay to make mistakes as long as they're new ones. And he thought, you know, this is a message for me. He was looking for signs, right? Looking for signs. It's okay to make mistakes as long as they're new ones. And he realized that this whole thing had been something of a mistake. So after 3 days, he found a Best Western on the side of the highway, walked in, and said to the manager, "Can I use the phone?" Called his mom. Mom paid for a hotel room for him. Called some friends. They came and picked him up. And his adventure as Peace Pilgrim was over. I think many people in today's world are on something of a journey like Daryl's. Maybe not quite so dramatic as selling everything you have and trying to walk across country. But searching for meaning, for purpose, for connection with others, none the same. And you may be haunted or may have been haunted by some of the very questions that Daryl was haunted by in his dreams. But as I hear the text that I just read from Luke's gospel, it strikes me that this isn't a new thing, right? So in Jesus' day, this time of great expectation, there were all sorts of people coming out to John the Baptizer out there in the wilderness and bringing their hope for renewal, right? Their need for connection, their need for getting closer to God, their hope and expectation, wanting renewal in their lives. John talks about someone coming who will purify, sort out the chaff from the wheat in our lives. Now, we all know there are parts of us that are unhealthy, destructive, that are wayward, distorted, things that are wrong. This is the time, of course, of New Year's resolutions, right? We vow to change all that stuff. How does that usually go? Anyone already given up on a New Year's resolution? What is today, the 13th, you know? Yeah, so much for that. So, but as I read this text, particularly Luke's version of this, something struck me, which is that Jesus shows up and joins the crowd there, right? Now, so often we have, you know, we've seen kind of art of Jesus being baptized, and it's sort of, I mean, even like the stained glass window right over here, it's sort of, there's John and there's Jesus being baptized. And in that case, Jesus seems quite small and John's quite large, but there's no one else around, right? There are no other crowds. It's just Jesus alone being singled out. But that's not what we hear in this text here from Luke. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized," oh, and Jesus also had been baptized. You know, he's just in the crowd there. He shares in this with all the rest of them, right? He meets them where they are. It's only after this, in prayer then, that the Spirit comes and this voice says, "You are the Beloved, with you I am well pleased." In Christian tradition, the practice of baptism is understood as the practice by which we receive that affirmation that God gave to Jesus. Two, we are the Beloved. Not because like we were really horrible people before we were baptized, and then we suddenly switch over, or that God doesn't love us until we go through this ritual, or God doesn't love us until we, you know, join up with the right religious institution. No, God loves us all along. God loves us all along. But by entering through baptism into the community of Jesus, we hear this message for us personally. We experience it tangibly in the washing of water. And we join a community shaped by this promise. And in doing so, we are no longer alone. Now, we live in a culture today in which meaning and purpose and identity are like projects that we have to work on over the course of our lives, things that we have to construct individually. And like Daryl Watson, we feel it's up to us to go on some great individual quest to try to make sense of our lives. I don't know about you, but you know, I grew up in a family in which there wasn't much passed on to me in terms of spiritual meaning and practice and community. Anything that was going to be in my life from that in that direction, I had to go find myself. It's easy for us to feel like we have to make a lot of choices to locate ourselves, right? Vocationally, spiritually, philosophically, politically, relationally. It used to be that people would be born into communities where a lot of that was already set for you. Not so much today. Those choices are endless and fluid. But today's gospel says otherwise. That for those within the story of Jesus, there is an alternative, right? You don't need to construct your identity because it is conferred on you by God. You are the beloved. You are the beloved. You are of immeasurable value. No matter how much the world says you don't measure up, God's love is deeper than that. For whatever chaff you feel is in you, there is also precious wheat. No matter how the world receives you or rejects you, in God's eyes, you are and always will be the beloved. Now, we need each other to hear this. That's not a voice we can easily sustain on our own in a world that so often beats us down. We need a deep tradition of Christian practice in community and tangible practices like baptism or breaking bread together at this table to pass this on. We don't need to make it all up on our own. Now, the sad thing to me is I listened to Darrell Watson's story is how the church failed him along the way. Failed to engage his deepest questions and yearnings and hopes and doubts. Failed to help him discern his gifts and calling. But then again, the church is made up of humans, and so it should be no surprise that the church itself needs its chaff to be sorted out alongside the wheat. For you see, it's not all up to us. As one of my friends regularly tells his children, you can't be anything you choose to be. God has gifted and called you in particular ways, and your purpose, your charge is to be faithful to those gifts and that calling. So this morning, my prayer for each of us is that we may hear God's voice calling us the beloved, that we may claim that promise as a community, and that we may share it with others in our world. Amen.